Boy, things have gotten really weird.
Yeah, it almost seems like every day you don't know what to expect. So we are going to try and help get you through it.
I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson, and we're the hosts of the new podcast, Coronavirus Daily. We bring in some of the top experts all around the world to ask the questions that you have.
Because we are all in this together, and you know what? We are all going to survive this together.
Again, Coronavirus Daily on the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Life has changed, and the news is changing with it. Chicago's most trusted source when it comes to news coverage, WBBM News Radio. For coronavirus updates throughout the day, to learn ways your neighbors are helping, for the latest on healthcare and what's happening in your community, turn to WBBM. Stay safe, stay connected, stay informed. There's only one all-news station in Chicago, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Or ask your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. June is the month to make your pet green. Plastic isn't just harmful to the environment, but it can be harmful to your pets too. Don't buy dog or cat toys made out of plastic. Instead, look for toys made with natural materials, like cotton, rope, wood, or bamboo. Even better, make toys out of old t-shirts, socks, or towels. Your dog or cat will love your upcycled toy just as much. It all starts with one thing. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
This segment is brought to you by Door Systems. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
McGuire waits, swings, and hits it to deep center. Looks like it's going to leave the park. Adios! Wow!
Sosa set to drive. Deep tie right! Oh, baby, long gone!
Have we ever seen anything like this?
We couldn't stop talking about Mark McGuire around here today.
You just don't know when you're going to hit a home run. Obviously, it takes a pitcher, it takes a pitch, it takes a good swing.
I'm ready. Ready for the fight.
Watching those two guys, it was poetry.
It ain't coming back.
We got Mark, they got Sandy.
Didn't know anything about Sammy Sosa until he had 20 home runs in June.
The Maris record was hallowed ground.
If it was easy to do, it would have been broken a long time ago.
People were desperate for a feel-good story.
In retrospect, there was a price to pay for it.
I was hungry to be somebody.
I was born to hit home runs.
We shocked the world.
That was the promo on ESPN for the 30 for 30 Long Gone Summer that you are going to watch Sunday night, 8 to 10 here Chicago time, after which there's going to be a post-game discussion that we're going to have. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer and Bruce Levine here on Sports Radio 670 taking your calls to get your reactions to the movie that was made by this man, A.J. Schnock. He is on Twitter at A.J. Schnock, and he joins us on the Al Pamani Ford hotline, Al Pamani Ford, in Melrose Park. AJ, how are you, man?
I'm good, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. What does it feel like to have reached this point? How long a journey has it been, and what's the what are your emotions as this gets ready to debut?
Well, 3 years, I think it's been, since I first started talking to ESPN about it, and So it's overall, it's been a long journey, but the last few months of finishing the film during a pandemic when you're not able to kind of be in the same room with your creative team has been exhausting in ways that I don't even know if I can describe. But this week it's been an all out push of getting the film and delivering to ESPN, which we finally did on Wednesday. So you know, it's I'm excited now that everyone gets to see it on Sunday. It's a little hard to believe that we're finally at this moment.
You made a very important choice that I think defines the experience. And I've been reading the reviews of others and comparing and contrasting with my feelings after I watched it. And I was reading my friend Phil Rosenthal in the Tribune today. He said that he didn't like the movie for the very same reason that I did. And that is when you drop the hammer and when you let reality intrude, and I don't want to use that word, 'cause that's a loaded word, or when you let what we know now or suspect now intrude, that you let us experience this in a temporal way as we did. You gave us the fun. You allowed us to have almost 2 hours of fun before really coming in and saying, yeah, well, now we know this. Why did you make that choice?
I mean, a couple reasons. One is, I think because of the haze of what we know happened throughout baseball in the 90s, you know, it's hard to remember exactly what that moment felt like at the time. And at the time, it was, of course, you know, not just a huge moment in baseball or in sports, it was a huge moment in the country. And, you know, I think I really wanted to approach it from a chronological perspective, so that you were put back in that moment, that you could feel what the moment felt like at the time. I mean, you know what's going on, and you know what that era is about. But the people you're watching, the people who are enjoying it in that moment, they don't know anything other than how it's affecting them, and that was how everyone experienced it. So, you know, we really tried to take the opportunity that when the in August, when the Andro story breaks, that an AP reporter finds that McGuire has openly in his locker a bottle of Andro, you know, that's sort of our moment to start talking a little bit bigger about what the era was. But, you know, we do hold off until the final act to really dive into what we've learned since 1998 and how that might affect you know, our lingering feelings about the chase. But I wasn't really interested in sort of framing it up top with, you know, this was a time period when people were doing all these things, and now let's look at how everyone, you know, overreacted at the time. Because I think, you know, it's sort of important to put you back in the way you felt in that moment.
When you use the word overreacted, do you mean fans going so crazy for something that was enhanced, or do you mean the overreaction to the fact that there was enhancement?
I think, you know, it depends on which side you're coming from. I mean, to me, I think there are a lot of people who, I've seen people posting, as you know, throughout the time I've been making the film, someone will post a clip of everybody going crazy for the home runs. And, you know, there will be a lot of comments like, you know, look at these idiots, you know, who are like watching this and thinking that this is good, or that this is, you know, somehow enjoyable. And, it was important to me to not sort of frame it with the judgment that people, you know, in the time period, you know, weren't somehow sophisticated enough to understand what was going on, because it was a national thing that everyone was falling in love with.
It's funny, I've come full circle, because not only was I one of the quote-unquote idiots marveling at what was going on, saying, oh my God, look at where he's hitting some of these balls. Look, you can't throw this guy a strike. Look, I mean, Sosa's hitting rockets down the right field line off the end of the bat, and it was incredible to watch. And then maybe it's because I felt guilty for it after the fact, but I was one of those finger waggers. I was one of those high horse god people saying, well, you've cheated the integrity of the game, and how dare you? And you know what? I've come full circle, and I've been swayed by some well-crafted arguments comments from people smarter than I am, talking about that game we thought was so sacrosanct really wasn't, and there were no people of color playing, and there was the use of amphetamines all throughout the 60s, 70s, 80s, and the number of people that were cheating. That, come on, come off it. And now I don't feel as bad about it. I felt better watching the movie, just remembering how entertaining it was, and that's okay, that was all very much real, because we can't make it unhappen.
Right, and I think you make all great points about the fact that, you know, we can't look at the steroid era and think that this is the only, you know, time that baseball hasn't been completely righteous. You know, there have been all sorts of framings that you can put around the different eras in baseball that make you sort of question, well, you know, are those are the things that happened during that time period, you know, are those, do they stand up to what we, you know today? You know, and we're in the middle of a time where we know the baseball is wound a little bit tighter and the ball's, mm-hmm. you know, going out like crazy right now. So, you know, certainly there are people who want to be able to, like as George Will says in the film, you know, be able to look at statistics and be able to compare someone who played in the 30s with someone who played in the 80s. And, you know, I there are baseball purists, I think, who really feel that way about the records in baseball. You know, I think the other people are starting to look at it as you just described it, which is that you can always say that there was something happening, whether we knew about it or we didn't know about it, that might have affected what was going on the field.
Was there anybody you tried to talk to and couldn't?
We had approached Griffey about being involved, and you know, that kind of really never went anywhere. Now that I look at it, and you know, the challenge of trying to tell both Mark and Sammy's story, both their history and also what happened during that summer, is a challenge within a 2-hour framing. So I think it would have been tough to do justice to his story. But I think, you know, it would have been interesting to see how that was different for folks in Seattle and for Mariners fans and how they perceived it once the storyline sort of left and was only focused on these two guys in the Midwest. And also then, you know, later on when, you know, people learned what they did about what was going on in the game.
The Mark McGwire that you gave us now, in a lot of ways, seems a little bit lost. There's an emptiness to him, and it's hard to put my finger on exactly the quality that I perceived. But when he said something to the effect of "I was put on this earth to hit home runs," that's just sort of who he is, and not being able to do that. We know that he's really wanted to feel connected to the game in a way that Sammy Sosa hasn't, in contrast. But there really is, after all this, something empty, something missing from McGwire, and I'm not quite sure I can put my finger on what it is.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I do see that, you know, Mark had another act in baseball that was not showy at all. You know, he returned to the game as a coach first for the Cardinals and then for the Dodgers and Padres. And, you know, we actually tried to find footage of him, you know, thinking it's at one point that we would use something like that to kind of update, in addition to footage that we shot of him at Padres spring training. And, you know, there just wasn't a lot of it out there. He was not a showy figure as a coach. He just kind of put his head down, and you talk to anyone in those organizations and they have nothing but praise for, you know, what he was able to do for hitters and how players really, you know, felt that they had learned so much from him. And he made the decision in 2019 or at the end of the 2018 season to step away from his role with the Padres to spend more time with his, you know, high school aged kids. So I don't know. I sensed him as being, you know, a guy who always wants to be in control of his own decision making. He thinks really hard about how he wants to approach something, and when he does, he just kind of dives in. Which I think, you know, it was his decision to walk away from the game in 2001, even though Tony La Russa and Walt Chocolaty were saying, look, you know, you can be a pinch hitter. You know, you can just play some of the games. And he said, no, I'm not going to take a salary of this size if I'm not able to contribute fully. And I think he's just, it's part of his personality just to be that kind of guy. Which to me is somebody who is, at peace, but also wants to, wants to keep a level of privacy. I think if there's conflict, it's between being the private Mark and the person who came to those interviews, committed to telling the story as he hadn't told it before.
And what did you leave thinking about Sammy Sosa differently, if at all? Because I heard some of the same neediness, some of the same vainglory, but just to come, it being channeled through age and maybe a little bit of wisdom.
Yeah, look, I think Sammy, you know, he's a proud guy. He would really like to feel like he's getting the respect that he believes he deserves for the accomplishments he had both on and off the field. I think that that's, that's something that I felt very strongly. And to me, it's certainly there's an element of that that's involved in his estrangement from the Cubs. But I think it's also just part of the fact that, you know, these guys, because they rose to such heights, because they took the country on such a big ride, there's been a lot more, scorn and disappointment placed on them or toward them than there has been for other players who we know were using at the time.
At one point, there's a shot of the Ferguson train station, and there's a cutaway to downtown Ferguson, and there's a storefront. And in the window of the storefront, you see the words Black Lives Matter. Was that a late edit, or was that just a coincidence with everything that's happening now?
Well, you know, one of the things that I grew up in the St. Louis area, and, going back into St. Louis to film, you know, even one of the first times I went back after Ferguson, you know, after you'd watched on television, it's kind of similar to some of the things that we've just experienced where, you know, a certain area can be devastated by, you know, either the conflicts between police and protesters or rioting that takes place. You get this sense from looking at it on television that the entire community or at large has been leveled, you know. And so one of the things about going back to St. Louis for the first time was just seeing how much of it, certainly there are issues in St. Louis then and there are issues in St. Louis now, but that it was not only the town that I largely remembered growing up around, but that there were a lot of other things happening that were, not that visible, that were positive. So one of the things I wanted to try to do with the film was to show a different side of St. Louis, to show neighborhoods that you don't always see, but to present as much of a rounded vision of St. Louis as I could. And, you know, when you drive around St. Louis, you see a lot of Black Lives Matter signs because people remember Ferguson and they have put those signs up then, and I'm sure they're still up today. And including that in the film felt both right in terms of what you see in St. Louis, and it certainly feels right now.
And now that I think about it, and I guess I hadn't put this in my notes, and I probably should have, that I just wasn't perceiving it, that you also included a representation of Cardinals fans of color that we don't usually see, and we certainly don't see often if we just look broadly at the faces in the ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you have to look at St. Louis generally, and there is a... it's a fandom that goes across all communities in St. Louis. So it was important to me to note, you know, those moments when, you could really see the diversity of St. Louis. And, you know, you don't always see it in the shots right behind the players coming up to bat in the field boxes. But mm-hmm. But certainly in the community at large elsewhere in the stadium, I think, you know, it's important to recognize that St. Louis was and is a diverse city.
We're talking with A.J. Schnock, the director of Long Gone Summer, the ESPN 30 for 30 that will debut 8 o'clock Chicago time. we would be remiss to not mention the music. And obviously people are still thinking, you know, the images of Last Dance, at least in Chicago, are still flickering in a lot of our heads right now. And we talked to Jason Heyer on this show about his use of music, about his use of using hip hop and using popular music to stitch together a soundtrack. You went in another direction and you had Jeff Tweedy of Wilco fame put together an original score that we heard some of that in the promo that sounds really American and very, very, the use of it in the atmospheric aspects of it. There's some more little avant-garde atonality at certain moments. How did you communicate with him to what you want, how you wanted it, and what was the back and forth like about putting together the score?
Well, when I, you know, reached out, you know, I knew that, that Jeff was a baseball fan. I didn't know him personally, but I grew up on the Illinois side of the Mississippi in Edwardsville, and he was from Belleville, which is two or three towns to the south. He's a little bit older than me, but, you know, we grew up around the same time in terms of watching the Cardinals and, you know, listening to Jack Buck and Mike Shannon call the games. So, you know, I talked to him sort of how I felt about baseball growing up and, you know, driving around with my dad in the station wagon, listening to the games on KMOX and coming home from school and turning on the TV and watching, you know, the Cubs on WGN. You know, the aspect of how baseball kind of fit into our lives. And then, you know, on my birthday last year, I woke up and, there were about 20 tracks in my mailbox from Jeff, and what excited me immediately was that I felt it wasn't, you know, what I said to him, I didn't want it to just be so on the nose, you know, like The Natural, you know, but I wanted it to feel in not nostalgic, but in a place with the Midwest and in place with kind of the atmosphere that we grew up in. And I loved what he sent. And one of the things he did is he also sent me the individual stems for a lot of the songs. So when we get into 61, 62, mm-hmm. I was able to use like a bunch of his bass stems to kind of create something that has a different sonic landscape. To try to convey, you know, the emotion and the excitement that was going on at that time, because that was one of the goals of the film, was to really put you back in that moment. And to be able to use Jeff's music to try to do that, I thought was really important.
I noted that it was in the build up to 60 that everything becomes a little more attenuated, that yeah. some of the shots are slower and longer, and the music becomes a little more atmospheric, and that was palpable at that time when things kind of get real.
Yeah, no, that definitely is. That's my favorite part of the film. You know, so much of, you know, setting up the information that, you know, some people, you know, they know a lot about the story. They know a lot about Mark and Sammy's background. They know the strike had sort of soured some people on baseball, but there's a lot of, you know, sort of detail information that we need to set up to get to that key stretch that happens after that August series at Wrigley between the Cardinals and Cubs, after the Andro is discovered in Mark's locker. You know, you're getting into kind of those, that last push towards 62. And that was the time I really wanted the music to play, you know, such a key role in getting us to that moment.
Why no narrator?
I've never used a narrator, and part of the reason in this film, you know, we went out specifically to go and do more than 40 interviews and hoped, if we were lucky, that the people who witnessed the story would be able to convey, you know, what had happened both that season and before and after. So we had such great voices to draw upon, and you know, your regret as a filmmaker is always that you can't use more of what everyone said, but that was certainly you know, the goal from the beginning was to let the people tell that story.
Before we let you go, I'm wondering, as we watch this, my first thought was maybe this moves the needle a little bit on either Hall of Fame consideration for either player or sort of a repatriation for Sammy Sosa into Cubs Nation. Do you have any vested interest in that? Was that ever something you thought of, or is it just whatever happens, happens?
I mean, my goal is that people just view the events of that year within the larger context of not just about the B that Mark has admitted to using and Sammy is suspected of using, although of course he's denied it, but really about a change in how players felt about the desire to bulk up, to gain muscle mass, to kind of embrace this sort of gym culture of supplements, some of which were of questionable efficacy, and had side effects. You know, a lot of this was happening right in front of our eyes. You know, I think there's been a lot of judgment passed down on Mark and Sammy, some of which Mark has been able to move past because of his time as a coach. And he certainly has been welcomed back to the game, both by the Cardinals and the A's. But, you know, I think it's, you know, as someone says in the film, the level of, you know, vitriol that I think is kind of pointed at the two of them, rather than just acknowledging that, you know, there were a lot of people in the game who were doing something that, you know, the game was doing a very poor job of regulating or indicating that they even frowned upon it. It's really easy to look back at the time period with the knowledge of 2020, or even, you know, when all these revelations were coming to light, and think like, oh, we know so much more. But I think, you know, the reality is that we there's a lot we don't know, and there's a lot we'll never know. In particular, you know, we won't know, you know, what pitchers were using, what hitters were using, and, you know, and how much it actually helps them. That's something we also don't know. So it's a real, I mean, we're still in a conundrum, and, you know, our goal was to kind of take you back there, let you unpack it a little bit, and then you can go back to fighting about, you know, what you think of that era and that year and of those guys. But, you know, hopefully you're doing it with a little bit more perspective, a little bit more light and a little less of the white hot, hot take heat, you know.
It was important, I thought, in the denouement to include the perspective of Jay Jaffe like you did. And one thing that I did write down is that when you have there's a wonderful shot of George W. Bush using a joke that he's used many, many times about a baseball move that he made. And the name that he uses as the punchline now is an actual Hall of Famer.
Yes. Yeah. No, I mean, that's certainly not lost on me and I think on other viewers. It's a crazy turn of events for sure.
Really appreciate you taking the time, and I hope people enjoy this as much as I did, AJ. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That is AJ Schnock, the director of the ESPN 30 for 30 Long Gone Summer that is going to air Sunday night. And again, after that, you can call into The Score and hang out with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer and Bruce Levine as they share their memories. As we go to the break, I want to play Who Am I? This is a little different one, and this was something that I had to remember, and I thought, okay, this would be perfect coming out of this regarding the 1998 season, perfect going in to break, and I don't cheat on this one. Really, try to have fun with this, see if you remember it, and maybe you do, and the texters to 312-644-6767 will usually determine, you know, how I think of where I've aimed this. And all I'm going to say is, in that 1998 season, there were four players who hit 50 or more home runs, which used to be a huge deal. Those of us who are my age, around 50 years old, remember, oh my God, when George Foster hit 52 in 77, it was unheard of. The guy hit 52 home runs. That was like going back to Jimmy Fox and Hank Greenberg to see numbers like that. And then Cecil Fielder did it. It was like 50 or 51. Four guys hit 50-plus in 1998. Mark McGwire hit 70. Sammy Sosa hit 66. Ken Griffey Jr. hit 56. And I'm going to ask, who am I? I am the other player in 1998 who hit an even 50 home runs. That year, I batted 272. I was on base 363 and slugged a whopping 597. It's an OPS of 960. Had 50 home runs that year and had a really good career, good player for a long period of time. Ended up with 355 career home runs in a 15-year career that ended in 2003. But I'm going to ask you, I am the other guy in 1998 who hit 50. Who am I? We will reveal the answer when we come back on The Score.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. Chicago guys talking Chicago sports. Listen on your radio, your laptop, your mobile device, through the radio.com app, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute. Now, let me tell you about James Misioni of Boonton, New Jersey. The diehard baseball fan passed away in March at the age of 97. When his family cleaned out their attic recently, they found Uncle Jimmy's baseball card collection. Now, most of you have stories of your mom tossing out your cards or selling them all for 10 bucks at a garage sale in the 70s. But Uncle Jimmy kept this collection in pristine condition. And when his family found them, they found millions of dollars worth. Not a few Paul Konerko rookie cards. No, this is Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Jimmy Fox, signed cards. Uncle Jimmy would send these cards to players and have them send it back autographed. It's one of the greatest discoveries in the history of the industry. Bravo, Uncle Jimmy, for burying your treasure only to be found today. A modern-day one-eyed Willie. This is Damon Amendolara.
Every home has things it needs, things that need to be maintained, fixed, or replaced. The Home Depot is here to help you get it done. You can easily find what you need on our app, order it online with the push of a button, and have it brought to your door with free delivery on over a million items. We have the essentials you need, the online know-how you may need to do it yourself, and low prices that make it all possible. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to go back to work. There's a lot to do. We have things to make, stuff to build, cargo to ship, customers to serve. So grab a 5-hour energy and get ready. For 16 years, through good times and bad, 5-hour energy has been there helping hard-working people get stuff done. It's time to go back to work. Let's roll up our sleeves and get going. For more information and to order online, visit 5hourenergy.com.
A better tomorrow starts today with Wendy's breakfast. A tomorrow that says bay can, not bay can't. Here we do not ask what will tomorrow hold, but rather what will you hold tomorrow? A breakfast baconator? A honey butter chicken biscuit? A sausage egg and Swiss croissant? A frosty chino? Buy any of these four Wendy's breakfast favorites and get another for just a buck. Tomorrow's looking good.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with combo or any other offer.
The National Constitution Center serves as America's leading platform for constitutional education and debate. Through its museum in historic Philadelphia, just steps from where the Constitution was signed, and its online interactive Constitution, the center brings together people of all ages and perspectives to learn about, debate, and celebrate the greatest vision of human freedom in history, the U.S. Constitution. For podcasts, live programs, constitutional news, and educational resources, visit constitutioncenter.org.
I had no tangible evidence that my dad killed anyone.
What April Bellaccio did have was a feeling.
Let me ask you, how many people do you know that have been murdered?
None.
Well, everywhere I went, people that we knew or associated with were being murdered.
I'm Josh Dean. For the last 3 years, I've been following April, trying to make sense of what her father did and what else he may have done.
We know for a fact that they're both here and they're both there.
Nearly identical murder.
Nearly identical murders occur.
And he still had his arm raised like he never lowered the gun.
It's a true crime story that's also about our obsession with true crime. and the mythic monsters we create.
I believe that my dad was consumed with the Zodiac, but I can look you in the eye and tell you he did not kill JonBenet.
I know, nobody likes that one.
The Clearing, from Pineapple Street Media, in association with Gimlet.
The Clearing is available now for free on the Radio.com app.
What's happening in your world matters more today than ever before. To stay safe, stay informed. Check in several times each day to News Radio 780 or 105.9 FM. It's Chicago's only all-news station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A better tomorrow starts today with Wendy's Breakfast. A tomorrow that says bay can, not bay can't. Here we do not ask what will tomorrow hold, but rather, what will you hold tomorrow? A breakfast baconator? A honey butter chicken biscuit? A sausage egg and Swiss croissant? A frosty chino? Buy any of these four Wendy's Breakfast favorites and get another for just a buck. Tomorrow's looking good.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with combo or any other offer.
Every home has things it needs. Things that need to be maintained, fixed, or replaced. The Home Depot is here to help you get it done. You can easily find what you need on our app, order it online with the push of a button, and have it brought to your door with free delivery on over a million items. We have the essentials you need. The online know-how you may need to do it yourself, and low prices that make it all possible. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Dan Bernstein asks, who am I?
Harris kind, I don't know. Brown.
Oh, he's tall.
Yeah. He's kind of tall, sort of tall. And he's like always wearing
T-shirts.
Yeah.
Who am I?
So he's sort of tall.
Kind of.
With hair.
Yeah.
And he wears T-shirts sometimes.
Yes.
On 670 The Score.
This edition of Who Am I is brought to you by Grand Appliance and TV. Grand Appliance makes appliance shopping easy with a low price guarantee, user-friendly website, extensively trained sales team, and hundreds of models in stock every day. Best of all, you can save an extra 5% on most brands through June 17th. Grand Appliance, trusted since 1930. When I last left you, I was asking you, who am I? I'm the other guy that hit 50 home runs in that 1998 season. Mark McGwire set the record with 70. Sammy Sosa smacked 66. Ken Griffey Jr., the guy who was supposed to be in the running with Mark McGwire and ended up not being, had 56. And I had 50. 242 career batting average, 337 on base average, 470 slugging. It's a career OPS of 807, a career OPS plus of 113. So pretty good. A pretty good player for a long time. Broke in 1989 with the Milwaukee Brewers. Played 8 years there before moving on to the San Diego Padres, 3 seasons there, traded immediately after the 50 home run season. I believe he was and may still be the only player traded in the offseason after hitting 50 home runs. I think that's right, because he was a free agent to be. They didn't think they were going to re-sign him. And then he was in Cincinnati, and then he was in Tampa Bay and Colorado to finish out his career. But that man is Greg Vaughn. Greg Vaughn in 1998, 50 home runs, 119 runs driven in, 272, 363, 597. He was an all-star. He was fourth in MVP voting, and he was the winner of the Silver Slugger Award. So nicely done. A lot of guesses in there, but it was indeed the San Diego Padres' Greg Vaughn. And you start looking at some of the numbers from 98. You know who led all of baseball in wins above replacement, according to Baseball Reference? It was a pitcher. Two of the top three were pitchers. Kevin Brown was the WAR leader, 9.1. And then it was A-Rod. Roger Clemens was third. Bonds was fourth. John Olerud, Derek Jeter, Mark McGwire, Oakland pitcher Kenny Rogers, and then Andrew Jones and Vlad Guerrero. Kevin Brown would have taken me a while. If you said it was, I might have said Clemens probably wouldn't have gotten Rogers. You start talking about the great pitchers of the era. But Kevin Brown, even as all that was going on, was compiling a 9.1 win season. When we come back, we're going to get the latest on what's going on in Illinois and Chicago with sports betting. There have been some decisions, some rulings, some changes. Getting us caught up on all of it will be Score Evening host Joe Ostrowski. He joins us next on The Score.
When you think Chicago sports, think Mully and Hall. Chicago's most listened to sports morning show, hands down. They cover all of Chicago's teams. From the daily wins and losses to the most historic moments in Chicago sports. Trust Mully and Hall to start your day. Mornings 5 to 9. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com sports station.
Switch to Sprint and get our best unlimited deal ever. Four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. Plus, we're including four amazing iPhone 11s on us when you trade in iPhone 6s or newer in any condition. Visit Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores. Phone after $29.17 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within two bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Requires new account. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with autopay. Data ID prioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums. User rules. $30 activation fee and restrictions apply.
If you are looking to purchase a home or refinance your existing home, call Team Hochberg, your trusted local mortgage professionals. Team Hochberg would like to thank first responders, doctors, nurses, medical professionals, hospital support staff, and the entire supply chain. Thanks to farmers, railroad and warehouse workers, truckers, postal workers, teachers, construction workers, garbage haulers, heavy equipment operators, and everyone restocking shelves. David built his business helping essential employees with their mortgages, and he wanted to do more than just say thank you. So Team Hochberg is purchasing $1,000 worth of food a week from family-owned restaurants to feed the previously mentioned essential workers. Team Hochberg is proud to support family-owned restaurants and essential workers, and they encourage everyone who can to do the same within your communities. If you're interested in securing information about forbearance, about refinancing your existing loan, or purchasing a new home, call Team Hochberg at 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of Score listeners, but they can't help if you don't call. 855-563-2843. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon. Vincent Goodwill.
One thing I'll say about Michael Reinsdorf is this, and I firmly believe this. He has a famous last name, but is a pretty anonymous person throughout all of this. But he's very sensitive to the success of the franchise. I truly believe he wants to win. And I think he has a chance here to make a name for himself, to step outside of Jerry Reinsdorf's shadow while Jerry is still here and making the final decisions. That's a very tricky process. And I don't think that we can all appreciate the fine line that he has to walk, that he's trying to walk here. And making a decision like this means you have to have a bunch of people on board and behind you. And whether it works or not, I think just the fact that he's willing to go through a top-down overhauling of basketball operations says a lot about his desire to want to get this thing right.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station.
Every home has things it needs, things that need to be maintained, fixed, or replaced. The Home Depot is here to help you get it done. You can easily find what you need on our app, order it online with the push of a button, and have it brought to your door with free delivery on over a million items. We have the essentials you need, the online know-how you may need to do it yourself, and low prices that make it all possible. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Dan Bernstein with you on Sports Radio 670 The Score, middays 9 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday. And we now go to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, to welcome our colleague Joe Ostrowski. He is on Twitter at Joe0670. He is the Score Evening host, and he is our sports betting expert. And we've had some news. So, Joe, the quick question is, what's changed?
All right, let's rewind to last Thursday. Late on Thursday, Governor Pritzker issued an executive order to suspend in-person registration throughout the pandemic. This was a game changer. It's like a Bears explosive play, which we rarely see, to the red zone. Because the in-person registration, part of this expansive bill which was passed last spring, with that in-person registration, it was a barrier to entry. The way we do things nowadays. Now, it sounds great. Oh, yeah, I'm going to take a day. I'm going to register and go all over the state. Like, are people really going to do that where some of these books are going to be located downstate? It wasn't a reality. And this is really going to help the better, because once they launch mobile betting, once it is approved, and we are almost there, I'll talk about that in a moment, you're going to have an option to download sports books from 7 to 8 casinos and racetracks coming up in a few months. Download those to your phone, and it helps the consumer because you are going to be able to have the opportunity to get the best of the number. And that's the only way you have a shot at even breaking even in this game. Like, you would be surprised when you look at MVP odds or Super Bowl odds and you line shop from book to book. Like, when Lamar Jackson was 200-1 last summer at some sports books in Nevada, at other places he was 100-1 and 50-1. So that was big what happened last Thursday with Pritzker. Now, the Illinois Gaming Board met yesterday for the first time since January. The last two were canceled. A lot of administrative stuff in the beginning. The important part for sports wagering, 7 Illinois casinos were approved for master sports betting licenses. Each of those are good for 4 years. Rivers Casino in Des Plaines, Argosy in Alton, Illinois, Grand Victoria in Elgin, Hollywood Casino in Aurora and Joliet in downstate, Casino Queen in East St. Louis, Paradise in East Peoria. So that was big. Now 7 casinos have licenses.
So now if I want to bet, and you say you can download apps, if I'm an Illinois resident, must I bet in Illinois?
Yes, to bet legally, you do. But you can't do that today. We are not quite there yet. There was a lot of confusion yesterday afternoon after the meeting. Okay, does that mean I can download the Bet Rivers app immediately and start betting on PGA Tour if I want to do that? We're not quite there, but we're almost there. I contacted the IGB yesterday, and they said that no licensees have requested to commence online wagering, but we are almost there. They need to finish off some of the geofencing in the state of Illinois, a few other things, and they're not going to have to wait until the next board meeting, which is July 30th. They would just need approval by the administrator of the board. So I've heard rumors as soon as next week Bet Rivers could launch. It's probably going to happen, I would guess, sometime this month. But we're almost there. Bet Rivers will be the first one to launch. And Argosy right there, too, because Argosy and Alton, Illinois, they launched the same week that Rivers did. But you really don't need both because they're going to be run by the same company.
So ideally, you end up with something resembling a price war when you have the way it's not just the lines are set, but the amount of juice that might be taken here. And I don't know if it's going to be, you know, parlays, teasers, etc. But I would think that they're going to start, the casinos will roll out some of their first best stuff because how habitual this is. Because having a good experience early with one app, mm-hmm. it's not like everybody, you know, like I've got CVS and Walgreens apps on my phone. I've got Mariano's and Jewel on my phone. But if I find it the right price for an avocado and I know where I want to go get it, I'm not going to spend all day shopping back and forth for everything that I need on my list. That I would think that these casinos are going to be incentivized early to say, this is the kind of experience you're going to have with us out of the box.
It's going to be an extremely competitive market. I'll take a wild guess that you will hear a lot of commercials here on 670 The Score. When you're watching games, you'll see a lot of commercials for these Illinois books that are in town. And it's great. You're right. Like I mentioned at the start, Sure, the idea of setting up accounts at all these sports books sounds great, but are you going to drive up to Des Plaines, then to Aurora, Joliet? There's going to be probably one in Collinsville, Illinois. FanDuel might be running that book. We can get to that in just a moment. That wasn't going to happen. So this had to happen. And Dan, you know, I know you're not a sports bettor, but you know how Illinois sports fans are. They are rabid, and they love to wager on their games. I've talked to some people in the industry. They think if this gets rolling a couple months before football season, which is expected, where you can just download it on your phone and you're good to go, that Illinois in 2020 might have the highest handle in the country.
Really?
Yes. Because you're going to have the entire NFL season.
Wow, I hadn't thought of that. Maybe that'll keep them from hiking all our property taxes. Maybe that's some of the good news in there. That is amazing to think about. Now, are these, because you mentioned that FanDuel might be running one. Are casinos, local casinos here who haven't been in this business before, are they going to outsource the bookmaking, or are they actually gonna hire their own people to set lines?
Well, they're not going to be originating their own lines. Based on the conversations that I've had, and when you take a look at what's happened in Indiana, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, no, they're not shading the numbers. Now, I'm curious if the betting is as wild as we expect it to be in the state for Bears games. Are they going to maybe shade it a half a point? I was talking to a bookmaker earlier, last football season, and we were talking about that Bears-Raiders game in London, and he works for Caesars, and he was just taking a look at all the bets coming in Indiana. He's like, is the Raiders button broken? Like, what is going on? It's 95% of all wagers are coming in on the Bears side, and you may remember that, of course, the Raiders ended up covering that game. But it's going to be outsourced. The Rivers Casino will be run by Bet Rivers. Grand Victoria will be run by William Hill. Some people may have seen a lot of the William Hill kiosks in the Nevada area. Hollywood Casino, the word is the Aurora book, will be a Barstool sports book. So a lot of the heavy hitters are going to be coming in, including most likely FanDuel and DraftKings.
What does it mean for the still ongoing concept of this big brick and mortar Chicago casino that Lightfoot is still weighing options on?
Yeah, that's so. About a month ago, the holiday weekend, it was a big win for her, a bit of a tax break, something we're not used to in this state very much, because they brought in some of the experts last summer and they're like, yeah, this isn't going to work, and they looked at. The consultants looked at her suggestions of six possible locations, and they didn't really care for some of the spots that she brought up due to the foot traffic or the lack of out-of-towners in that area on the south and west side. So, as you know, that is going to be a really, really big battle in the state. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I would expect that there would be some that fight to have that somewhere downtown.
When you use the word geofencing before, what is that?
Okay, so if you register at a sports book in Indiana, you can only bet from your phone in Indiana. You can't bet from it in downtown Chicago. You've got to cross the border to be able to log on and bet. So that's the idea behind that. When Bet Rivers launches, hopefully pretty soon, people will register from their phones and they'll only be able to wager while they're in Illinois.
So we're giving up some privacy. Right. I mean, if you're telling them that somebody you're allowing somebody there to be gathering all this data about where you are and when you are there, that is of immense value to them. And that is that's a surrender of some privacy.
Certainly. And that has been the case for years with FanDuel and DraftKings, because some states were not allowing DFS play. So when you log in, it says that you have to allow them to track your location to see if you're in one of the states that has legalized DFS play, and now it's going to be legalized sports betting.
Wow, this is fascinating. And look, the sooner the windfall can get here for the cash-strapped state and city, I would imagine the better. I know the better for the bet whore. There are a lot of complicated things going on. Glad that we have you keeping tabs on it and keeping it simple for the rest of us, Joe. Appreciate it much, man.
Dan, I appreciate it. Let me leave you with one more thing. With the economic hardship going throughout the country, we are seeing movement in so many states, already legalized in 22, and PASPA was overturned just 2 years ago. There's talk of Ohio, California. It wouldn't shock me in another year or two if we're at 40 states. And we haven't had sports for about 3 months for the most part. And in that period of time, sports betting stocks like DraftKings, Penn, PointsBet, which will run the Hawthorne Racecourse book, they have all 3x'd since April.
Wow. Well, maybe it'll come save us all, that and the youth of America. Sports gambling and young people, that's what we need. Joe Ostrowski, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dan.
That is Joe Ostrowski. Follow him on Twitter at Joe0670 and listen to him evenings here on The Score. He was among our guests today. He joined Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times and A.J. Schnock, the director of Long Gone Summer that we're all going to be watching on Sunday night. Thanks to Jay Zawoski, our executive producer. Thanks to Ray Diaz, the man on the board, for another really strong week of programming for this show. Thanks to Mitch Rosen and Shane Reardon for all of their ongoing hard work and support as well. Thanks to you for hanging out with us. We need to keep doing what we're doing, keep listening to the best knowledge that's put out there for us. I will tell you this, that we are learning for sure. Masks are helping. Masks matter. So it's not for you, it's for everybody else. Wear a mask and wear it over your nose and mouth. If you're not wearing it over your nose, you aren't wearing a mask. I'm talking to you, everybody in the grocery store. Please, please, please wear a mask because it makes a big difference. It really has an effect, and it's a small inconvenience for a big public health good. So do that where and when you need to. If you are outside your house and indoors, that would be the place to do it. Be healthy. Have a wonderful weekend. Lawrence Holmes has a tremendous show coming your way. He's going to talk to Ed Howard, the new Cubs shortstop prospect, and he's going to talk to Theo Epstein at 1. So it's a big day here on the station. I'll talk to you again 9:00 Monday morning.
Chicago's number one sports station, dominating Chicago sports talk for nearly three decades. 670 The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is 670 The Score. Radio.com sports station.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Dan Bernstein here, and this is a Score 2-minute timeout. Joined today by the fifth generation owner of Omaha Steaks, Todd Simon. Todd, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I'm awesome because I got a freezer full of steaks. So
me too.
You're right. Everything's great in my world. So it's Father's Day, and that means it's Omaha Steaks season. What makes it so great for Dad?
Well, you know, when you give a gift to Omaha Steaks, you're not just giving meat in a box. What you're giving is Dad a chance to bring his family and friends together for an amazing, you know, Father's Day barbecue. We got Father's Day coming up. We got July 4th coming up. We're all spending a lot of time at home. Now's the time to really, you know, show your skills and, you know, spend some time around the fire and crack open some beers. And, you know, and when you're talking about dads, you know, I'm a dad. I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old. You know, I want experiences with my family. I don't need more stuff. I got all the stuff. And so what better way to give someone an experience than give them an amazing Omaha Steaks that they can cook for their family and show off their skills?
I know one great way to get it is this fantastic summer sizzle package. It's going right now at 55% off. If you enter Dan at omahasteaks.com right there in the search bar, and it pops right up, and there's a free pound of steak-cut bacon. What does steak-cut bacon mean?
So imagine a pound of bacon, and then imagine that it's only 8 slices. I mean, that's how thick the slices are. They're like, you know, I don't know, an eighth of an inch, maybe a quarter of an inch thick. I have some in my freezer right now, and it is absolutely fabulous.
Oh, that sounds phenomenal. What else is hot? Any new recipe recommendations or things that are new and different for somebody who wants to break out of the routine?
Well, absolutely. I mean, what we're really talking about are when you go to the website, when you go to omahasteaks.com, you're going to see not only that summer sizzle package, but you're going to see things like 10-ounce ribeye steaks. You're going to see an opportunity to buy our private reserve collection. There's all sorts of amazing steaks for dad, and they're all perfect for the grill, and they're all perfect for Father's Day.
No, I've been enjoying Omaha Steaks since I was a little kid and continue to do so now, and I know that anybody listening to this will enjoy them just as much. Todd Simon, thanks so much for joining us.
It was great to be there, and I also want to mention that we've got four stores in the Chicagoland area, Naperville, Oak Brook, Orland Park, and Streets of Woodfield. So if you're